One of the greatest trips that my family took was during sabbatical. We went out to Washington, D.C., and we did a lot of kind of the normal things that you would do out in Washington, D.C., and we saw some things. And my wife thought that we could drive up to the White House, and we could just kind of take some pictures. Just so you know, you can't do that. They have like snipers sitting up there, and so you can't do that. And so a little bit UP-ish on our part to think that you could just drive up there. But one of the places that we went that was really incredible was the Bible Museum. And I will tell you, when we scheduled it, it was really kind of for me more than everybody else. And I thought we were going to go and look at some really dusty old Bibles. And we went in there, and it is an amazing immersive experience. It is incredible. They had like people from Disney come over, and they made like scenes of the Bible come alive. And there's all of these different places that you can go. And there are some dusty old Bibles, but it also tells you like how the Bible influenced America, how the Bible has influenced the world. And you're walking through this whole thing, and you're seeing the influence of God's word in all of the world. And there is this one room that it just amazed me. And I think we have a picture of it. Do we have a picture? This room is all of the languages that the Bible has been translated in. They have it in every one of those, and this is just, it's huge. This is just like a small portion. It's this circular room. And as I walked in there, I only know like English. I couldn't read any of those things, but there were all of these languages that God wanted to be known in, that God wanted to speak in. And you'll see a little sign up there, the 993,426. I believe that's how many chapters still need to be translated so that the word of God can go into all places, in all cultures, and that they can hear about who Jesus is. And as I sat there, I went, this is amazing. That God, he is continually pursuing people. He's continually speaking to people. He's continuing to speak his good news. And then I thought about you guys. I thought about Evangel. And I thought about just the beauty of this church in a weird little place called Houghton, Michigan. And I thought, this place is pretty amazing. Like what just happened this morning of this international flavor that we have and we've had in this community. I'm just thankful that we live in this place. It is remote. But it's amazing that we have international people coming from all over the place to come to Michigan Tech to study, but they've been hearing the gospel preached from this church over and over. And there's other churches too, but it's part of the mission that we have as a church, that we would speak the good news, not just in the Copper Country. Our mission statement is living the good news in the Copper Country, sharing the good news with the world. And we're not trying to be catchy with that phrase. That has been a part of this church for a very long time. And it's not just a slogan, but it's rooted in the very heart of who God is. And I want to tell you about this mystery that God has. I want to tell you about the mystery that he has revealed to us, not Evangel. Yes, Evangel, but not just Evangel. I want you to see this from the scripture, that God has told us his will. God has told us the mystery that he had to unpack for us. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9. And just look at these words that he says, making known to us the mystery of his will. Like how many of us go, what is the will of God? He's going to tell us. Here's the mystery, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time. And here it is, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. This is God's plan. This is what he wanted. He wanted to unite everything in the center place of who Christ is, that Jesus is the kingdom of God, that all things come underneath him, that he is the one. And that is not for, you know, one set of people. It's for the whole world. This was his plan, that God would send his son and unite all of these things under him. When Paul says mystery, just so you know, he doesn't mean like a puzzle that we have to figure out. That's not what he's doing. What he's doing there is he's saying, unless God pulled back the curtain, unless God came, unless God spoke, unless God revealed himself, we would never understand this. We would never know this. And so God, he made known the mystery of his will, that we would know Christ, that the world would know Christ, that he would rescue us from our sins, and that we would be a part of his plan and a part of his purpose. God's plan is to help. God's plan is universal. And this headline, making known to us the mystery of his will, to unite all things in him, that headline should blow our minds. It should be bigger than any headline that we've seen this week. And there's been a few headlines in the news. But this is the headline that is above all headlines, that it is bigger than all headlines. This God of ours came for us. This God of ours is putting all things into his plan. Paul, if you notice there, doesn't say God's plan is to help you cope. He will help you cope. He doesn't say God's plan is to give you principles for a better life. He does give us wisdom. Paul says God's plan that ends with everything being brought back into right relationship under the reign of Jesus. Things in heaven and things on earth. Here's why this matters. We tend to shrink Christianity to the size of our personal problems, our personal relationship with God, our personal salvation, that we want to get out of hell. And I want to get out of hell. I deserve hell. And yet God chose in his kindness to rescue me through the work of Jesus. And we tend to go like, this is what salvation is, but that isn't. We are a part of it. We are a stitch of the plan of God's mystery of bringing all things under Jesus. And so it's universal and it's global and it's beautiful what God is doing and has done. The gospel touches all of the things in our life. It does touch our personal problems, my guilt, my anxiety, my marriage, my habits. But it's not only about that. Your salvation and my salvation is not the whole story. It's just a place in the whole story of who Jesus is. Paul calls this plan for the fullness of time. As a plan for the fullness of time. He's talking about all history. And what he's saying is history is going somewhere. It's not like he just wound this thing up and it's going to kind of ebb and flow and just kind of go. It's going somewhere. The movement of God is going somewhere, and it's going to the place where everything is renewed, where everything is under the control and the reign of King Jesus. That's where it's going. That's what he's saying in this passage. God's answer is reconciliation and renewal, a restored people, a restored world under a restored king named Jesus. That's where it was at the very beginning of creation. Everything was under the reign of God, and he said, here you go. I'm giving you dominion over all of this, and we messed it up, and there was this incredible fall that happened. Romans 8 talks about this. And it talks about why creation was subjected to our fall, to our sin, and needing a restoration project from God Almighty to change that. If you turn over to Romans chapter 8, verse 19, we're going to start, or verse 18, we'll start in. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to the futility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Romans 8 is one of the most honest passages in the Bible about suffering. Paul is saying here, he's saying that the present sufferings that you experience, that I experience, they're real. But they're not worth comparing to what's coming, where history is going, in what is going to be revealed. He zooms out and he says, you are not the only one. I am not the only one. We are not just humans are groaning. All of creation is groaning in this. All of creation is feeling this. Creation waits because it is living under what Paul calls the futility and decay. It is as if the world is not operating in the way that it should operate. The way that it was designed to operate. And we know that's true. Things break. Bodies break. Relationships break. Systems break. The ground itself. It will not produce fruit without thorns. We have thorns that were not there and now are there. And Paul is careful. Creation didn't choose this. It was subjected to this. Not by creation's choice, but by our choice. In other words, this is what he's saying. The physical world is tied to the moral and spiritual fall of humanity. It means that the physical world and the spiritual world were joined together, they were connected together, and they were absolutely perfect in perfect union. All was right in the world in relationships between each other, between God and all of creation at one point. And when sin entered the world, when we think of sin, we think of, oh, I'm a little guilty about this, or I made a bad choice here. And what he's saying is, no, that sin, your sin, my sin, the sins of humanity have broke everything. All of the world is broken because of our sin. And it's tied to the physical. It's not just this spiritual. When humanity rebelled, the creation order under humanity's stewardship was pulled down to frustration. But here's the key word here. Hope. Creation was subjected in hope that it would be liberated. Paul uses an image of childbirth. There's this pain, there's this groaning, but it's not meaningless. It's moving somewhere. It's directing somewhere. The groaning is heading somewhere. The world's pain is not random. It's labor pains. It's a signal that God has not abandoned creation. He's planning to renew it. And here's the surprising connection. Creation's future is tied to the revealing of the children of God. The children of God being revealed. It's this public unveiling of believers in their final glorified state, resurrected, transformed, the completion of what God has started in you, the good work that he has started in you. And when that moment happens, when that glorious moment happens, creation's going to go, yes! There is going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and they are subject to the glorification that we are subject to. And it's when that happens, all of creation is excited about that. Right now, Christians are truly God's children, but you can't always tell that because we still look like everything else. We have weakness, we have suffering, we die. Paul says there's a day coming when it becomes obvious to the whole universe who belongs to Christ, because we will share in his glory. And when that happens, creation is brought into the freedom and to the glory, not because creation becomes divine, but creation finally becomes what it was meant to be. Here's what creation was meant to be. A theater. Think theater. A theater of God's glory under the good reign of King Jesus with his redeemed people. That's what creation's going to do. It's going to be this incredible theater of God's glory under King Jesus. Here's what Romans 8 does for us. It swallows two options up. It refuses despair. This world is not meaningless. It's not nothing. Like nothing matters. It doesn't matter. It matters. And it refuses like this escapism. God only cares about souls. The material world doesn't matter. That's what he's saying. No, it does matter. He gives us this third picture, and it's resurrection hope. Resurrection hope. God's redemption is not less than personal, forgiveness, but it is much more than that. It is a cosmic restoration. That is the hope. That is what the scriptures teach. That is what God is moving. That is where history is going. Paul brings that cosmic plan right down into our hands. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, I want you to see this because it becomes really personal in this moment. It says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The restoration project has started. The old has passed. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world, look at that, the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. The old has passed, the new has come. The gospel, this is what this means, is not just a ticket to heaven. It's the beginning of a whole new reality. A whole new reality in you that will be brought to completion when Jesus comes and restores all things. But for now, it's this new creation that you have new desires. You have new loyalties. You have a new power structure. You have a new identity, not perfect yet, but truly new. Paul explains the engine of that new creation, and he says this: reconciliation. If you are without Christ, you are not reconciled to God. You are not a child of God. You're an image bearer of God, but you are not a child of God. The reconciliation process, this us being connected vertically to God Almighty, is brought to us through the person of Jesus. That's how we become this new creation. And when we say yes to Jesus, our name is written in the book of life, and we have become a new creation, part of God's restoration project. Remember, he's doing the whole world, so we're a stitch in the history of all of this. But this is what God is doing for us. God fills his his justice and gives us mercy through Christ. When Christ died on the cross, what we deserved was taken. Perfect man, no sin, absolutely perfect creation. He wasn't created, he was God. He went to the cross for you and for me. His blood was shed. And our penalty was taken so that God could reconcile us to him. Here's the weighty part of this, though, as you look at this. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. But then it says something else. It doesn't leave us there like, yeah, we're connected to God. It says, no, you now have a ministry of reconciliation. He doesn't just save you, he makes you a part of the redemptive process. That should amaze us. That we get to step into as new creations, the proclamation of the good news. That's why the gospel is this announcement. God has come. He's come to renew all things, and you can be a part of this. I'm a part of this. You're a part of this because of what he's done for us on the cross. And when we say yes, it's like we get to be a part of all of this. I used to love watching restoration shows, and I still do at times. Like This Old House, anybody see that? I like that one. As these guys are just kind of brilliant on how to fix everything. But there was one that I really loved, and it was a spinoff from Pawn Stars. And it was American Restoration. And I think we have, anybody see this? I'm the only one that watches TV. Excellent. I love this thing because this guy would get these, he'd get like an old Coke machine or an old bike you were like, there's no way that this guy can bring this thing back to life. And then at the end of the show, just like all restoration shows, you see this incredibly, brand new, beautiful Coke machine. And then they kind of explain, though, how they got through this process. Well, any of this restoration project, what they didn't do is just slap some paint on the Coke machine and repaint it. That's not what they did. This guy would go in and he would fix everything. He'd fix all the wiring. He'd fix all the slots that were off. At times he would find some of the artwork and he would repaint things on there. And he renewed the whole machine. He made it new. It was a new creation. And it amazed me. This is the same thing that God is doing in us. He's not just going, okay, here's Jesus, slap some paint on you. He's changing everything about us. He's given us a new identity. He's rewiring how we think. We renew our minds. We do not think in the patterns of this world, but the pattern of the one who created us. It's a totally different rewiring into this final stage where he gives us a resurrected body. When he makes all things new. See, Jesus is the center of all things that God is doing. Jesus is the middle of all things. He is the one who came. He is the one who is doing this work through the work of his Spirit in us to change, to renew. But in the moment you say yes to him, you are a new creation. You're on that process. The theologians call this process of walking through this process of reconciliation is to move in a direction toward what God has for us, toward this hope for us, to this reorientation of our perspective. So there's salvation that comes in, and yet there's this process of us submitting to the lordship of Christ in our life. This hope and this renewal in our lives. Reconciled people you and I, reconciled people carry a reconciling message into a broken world. Our world's still broken. Every day we pass by people who do not know Christ, who do not know the good news of Jesus. It brings us back to our mission. It brings us back to who we are and who we are in Christ. The mission of God is universal. It's for every culture. It's for every person. There is no one outside of the reach of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It is global mission, and yet it's also local at the same time. The gospel is universal. God is uniting all things in Christ. And so the church can't be passive about this because we have a ministry of reconciliation. God is still making himself known in every language, back to that big room. He's still speaking the truth of who he is in every language, to every nation, to every generation. And that's global, but it's also local right here. Right here, it is amazing to me. Like, I would never have picked, in God's wisdom and his providence, I would never have picked Houghton, Michigan to be this, like, little international community where people are being sent out all the time. I would never have picked that. Like, that, it doesn't even make sense to me. And yet, as I think about it, the more I think about it, it's actually quite brilliant. Because Houghton is, I don't know if you know this, is a suburb onto nothing. There is nothing outside of this. You have to drive 100 miles to go anywhere. And so you're kind of stuck here in the winter. We're into that place, into February, where you'll all be in church because you're all stuck here anyway, so you got to do something, right? But I think that it plays into the beauty of this place. Like the international community, yeah, you can fly all back home and you can fly all over these places, but you really can't get out of here for about 2 months. And I think God concentrates that 2 months. We've had a Chinese fellowship here for a very long time. And they have spoken the gospel into many, many people and sent them on their way back to China to speak the gospel. This ministry of reconciliation. We have Africans, we have Indians. And it's amazing to me. We also have just like Finnish people who love the sauna. It's a great place. Just let me tell you, a great place to share the gospel is in the sauna. You got the heat of hell there. It's kind of influencing you. And just you can speak the gospel to people. And I just want you to see the global and the beauty of the hope-filled life of a follower of Jesus that is being sanctified through the work of his Spirit in your life. You should not be silent. We should not be silent because we have a ministry of reconciliation. God is rebuilding what sin has fractured. Christ is the cornerstone of this new creation. I want you to think just for a moment in your life. I want you to think for just a moment in your life about building, about restructuring, about this work that God has started in your life. It really matters, those little prayers that we have. Those moments of anxiety, those moments of going, I don't know what to do, and going, King Jesus, help me. It really matters the words that we use, the conversations done with gentleness, a meal made for someone who can't repay you, a boundary, like, blessed are the peacekeepers, a moment of courage where you tell the truth and refuse bitterness. All of these things matter. And yet all of those things, as we walk in our lives, kind of feel like nothing. It feels like nothing. It's like, oh, I won the battle today. I did the right thing in this moment. But I want you to think about this nothingness of those little things that we do on a daily basis as reconciled people of God. I want you to think about building something. I want you to think about, like, when you build in the great COVID time, we had all had a little bit extra time at home, and because we were kind of stuck there, right? And one of the things my family decided to do was to build things. And so we were building a sauna. And I will tell you, building things, you have this thing in your head that you think, like, this is what it's going to look like, and this is what it's going to be, and it's going to be amazing. But it's a bunch of nothing to get it to be amazing. It's a bunch of cutting boards. How many boards did I cut? And at this length, and it's a bunch of nothing, hours and hours of nothing. But I will tell you, it creates something. And I think the followers of Jesus, when you're doing those things that feel like nothing, it begins to move you into something. It begins to move you into resurrected life. It begins to move you into this new life, this new identity, this new creation that you already are. It moves you into something that God has started, this good work that He has started. And so I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you today to do a few things. One is know that your ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. It's a ministry of the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ, is that it is for all people, it is good news. I want you to hold and grab that onto that. But I also want you to think about the building that God, the sanctification, the power of the Spirit of the living God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you and is at work in you and wants to build something that is beautiful and holy and good and exactly who you're supposed to be. And I want you to think thirdly of this. There is incredible, incredible hope that we have. All things are coming under the reign of Christ. Some of you are going through struggles. Some of you are going through pain. Some of you are going through relational struggles. But know this, you are only going to struggle for a little bit. Because there is a day that is coming and all of creation is going to celebrate because of what God has done. I want you to believe that. I want you to hold to that. And so when you pray, pray with great hope. When you're struggling to do the next right thing, do the next right thing with great hope. Because God is doing something and He has done something. He did it not just for you, but this incredible cosmic plan. He revealed the mystery. He revealed the mystery to us. And now we have Him, but we also have a ministry to reveal that to others. Let's pray together. Father, for the sake of the world, I just ask that You would give us an incredible understanding of who Jesus is, that He is the cornerstone of our faith, but He is also the kingdom. He is the kingdom. That all things will be under His reign, that He is King Jesus, that He would reign in our life, that we would walk toward the life that You've always wanted for us, not just for self-help, not just for some salvation that is coming, but for the salvation that is already here. God, give us a new heart that You promise. Help us to understand that we have that. Give us the courage to speak the truth of the gospel, to announce the truth of the gospel. God, help us to believe that it's for all people, for all generations. For our neighbors, our co-workers, this is good news that Jesus came for us, that He died on a cross. It is not an opinion. It is a reality. Help us to believe that. Help us to believe that our hearts can be changed and that You are renewing all things. And God, let your spirit do the work of rewiring our minds and our thoughts. Let Your Spirit take those things that are just broken in us and heal them. God, thanks for loving us. Thanks for changing us. Thanks for giving us a new identity. God, I pray that we can live in the reality of the ministry of reconciliation that You've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.